back on the air. Caught me a little off guard, okay? I was trying to get a hold of our guy for tomorrow, James Anderson, our naturalist, and I didn't look at my board, so I didn't know where we were. And Dr. Feynman, are you on the air, I assume?
Can't you hear me laughing?
I did hear you laughing. Hey, did you hear any of our show from the previous hour?
Just the last 5 minutes. I was not on except for the last 5 minutes. When Scott was comparing Bush to Trump about wars,
yeah.
I made a comment. Yeah.
Well, we had all sorts of really interesting people that came on the air.
And
I had to admit to one caller who I think called twice. He changed my mind twice today. I didn't think anybody could do that.
Tell me about it.
I can't remember all the things.
What you can remember?
Yeah, well, we were talking about the, when people are, well, I'm not sure if this is what he and I were talking about, but we were talking about should politicians tell the truth, or should they tell it the way they think their constituents want you to tell it?
It's the issue about courage, whether you're going to go against the people because you have a strong belief, or you're going to just go along with the majority.
Right.
I'm a believer that you have to speak up for your views, and if you lose your election next time, so be it. You have to still be honest, and you got to use your own knowledge and expertise. And if you don't agree with the majority, you got to still vote the way you feel. That's the way I feel.
Yeah, that's kind of the way I feel. But Scott points out. And I've heard this for 74 years. If you can't get elected because you're an atheist, like I am, if you can't get elected because you're an atheist, but you have great ideas, what good are you doing? You know, shouldn't you temper what you say? Not necessarily say a lie. If somebody asks you, are you an atheist, you have to admit it. But just don't volunteer information that may not get you elected. What do you think about that?
I don't know. It's about someone who's not in office over someone who's in office. I guess you try to be as broad and general, as far as when you're running for office. But when you're in office, you have to have convictions and courage, and have be a profile in courage, as John F. Kennedy called it in his 1956 book about various senators who voted their conviction. And I still think that 10 House members and 7 senators who voted against Trump are heroes, and they should be seen that way, because they're not going to just go along with the crowd. They're going to vote their conviction because they thought Donald Trump had done impeachable acts.
Well, now, the other thing that this gentleman talked to me about, we were talking about using the N-word and using other words that are pejorative.
If they're not
really
used, I wouldn't even use it in a classroom.
Yeah.
I will say in a classroom, if I have to refer to, I say the N-word without saying the word, but everybody knows what I mean. I'll say the first letter.
Yeah.
But I do not think that is appropriate for, just as the bad words for being Italian or Jewish or Hispanic or Native American. It is not appropriate in a classroom, and I don't think it's appropriate for a public official to talk that way.
Well, I had a person once tell me that I shouldn't call a friend a Jew. I should call him Jewish. But you can call a person a Jew, I believe. Is that not...
Oh, I'm Jewish. I don't have a problem with that. But I guess maybe some people think that word comes often with the word dirty or crooked. A lot of people might put those two words together, I suppose. But I think some people are overly sensitive, maybe, is what it is.
Well, and do you then say, well, we're being oversensitive about the N-word?
I don't think so, because when we look at the history of this country and the racism that's always been there and is still there up to this moment, I just think it's inappropriate to talk that way. You know, I really think it is. So I'm a moralist in that sense.
Well, the word, the N-word, brings up visions of hangings to me.
Yes, lynchings.
Lynchings, yes.
Yes.
And I really have a hard time. Now, I didn't say this on the air earlier, but I'll tell you a little story. We went to Florida when I was in my late 30s. I was married, and I had let my hair go too long. which back then I let it grow too long many times.
Can I see a photograph of that someday?
Well, it's on my Facebook page.
But what is it?
When I used to sail, I have a picture on there of when I used to sail sailboats, and I'm on there with my hair down to my shoulders.
But, in the last century, of course, right?
Yeah, but you'll notice I do have a stocking cap on. That's to cover up the lack of hair on top.
But notice I said the last century. More than 21 years ago, it's the last century.
It was.
It's millennium. I use that as a joke sometimes in class about being born in the last century. When I'm in a class, they look at me like they're shocked.
Yeah. Well, you're right. It was in the last century.
Millennium.
Yes. Yeah, the last millennium. You're right. We were in Florida, and your state, and, well, I know you're really from New York, though.
I think the last 32 years before that was New York, yeah. But go ahead.
But I went to get my hair cut.
Oh, I think you told me this one.
Oh, I probably did. And the gentleman said, well, you know how we deal with the N-word?
Yeah.
We take them out in the in the swamp, and they never come back. And
you didn't go back there after that. I wouldn't either.
That just absolutely shocked the heck out of me because he was totally serious.
Yeah.
And that was probably in the late 70s.
Late 70s.
And I really didn't believe that went on. Much like I told you the story about Bob, who was sang with me, and it was African American.
Yeah.
Told he couldn't drink at a white man's down in Dotham, Alabama. But
disgusting. But you know, even now we have cases of this read about somebody who who was acting weirdly and had a mental issue, and the cop sat on his neck.
Yes.
I said, this after the other issue of the, I said, what's going on with these cops? Again, most cops are good, most law enforcement is good, but what kind of a way, why do you have to sit on a person's neck to subdue them? It just doesn't make sense, you know?
Well, I was interviewed to try and get a endorsement from the local sheriffs, and I was interviewed by four people, and I would venture, one of them was is a friend of mine, but less of a friend of mine anymore. I really felt that all four of them were gung-ho people that would have been really rough on an African-American as opposed to a white person.
Oh, God. And that's where you are in Ohio, yeah.
Yeah, and those were the people that I was being interviewed for an endorsement, and it really bothered. It still bothers me to this day. But anyway, I forgot what I put on our ad that I was going to talk to you about. I was going to talk to you about what do you feel about Mr. Cruz going down south to keep warm while his constituents were up north? Do you think he had a right to do that? I mean, he couldn't adjust anything locally, I guess.
Well, but everybody else in the state, all the other people, including those who were in office, such as, his opponent, Beto O'Rourke, did things. And AOC, as everybody likes to make fun of.
She's not even from the same state. Yeah. What she ended up...
Always attacking her is because she's Hispanic and a woman. That's why. It wouldn't happen the same if she was a white woman. Believe me, it wouldn't be the same.
Well,
she, I think, is wonderful. Sure, I don't agree with everything she says, but they're always on the attack on her and those few other women that are minority women. It's just obscene. It really is.
Well, she's not afraid to say her opinion, and I love that about her. Now, she's pretty far... She's probably farther to the left than I am. But
yes, I would agree. Same with me.
But I understand why she's there, because she has a lot more... education about people being prejudiced against her than I do. So.
Yeah, they all make fun that she's that well educated. She's extremely well educated.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, the things they say, and I'm saying Ted Cruz himself, and by the way, is a minority. He's Cuban. He's Hispanic.
Yeah.
That's the thing that gets me. But he is obscene, and I wrote about him. I've written on him in the past. But, I mean, really, it's just beyond belief. I call him Ted Cruz, I did on, February 19th. Ted Cruz is a monster, the most wretched public figure outside of Donald Trump. And I did point out, as I did 4 years ago on my blog, and I've said it sometimes, that in 16, when all those people were running, I actually thought, on paper, Cruz was more dangerous than Trump. Now, I don't know if I'd say it now, but he would be the next nightmare if he was somehow to get elected to the White House, because The man has no principle. He's a disgraceful human being. And I just, you know, to me, he should not be in office. But he's there to 2024. He did have a close race against Beto O'Rourke, but not close enough. Right. And he might very well, I'm sure he's going to need to announce the president. So it's going to be a difficult next few years to imagine him or Josh Hawley, both seditionists and traitors, on January 6th. Forget about what just happened in Texas. And then add others like Ron Johnson, who claims there was no actual riot or any kind of... He said that yesterday, Ron Johnson in Wisconsin.
Why are they so ignorant?
And, you know, I was joking with Adam Lepp about Rons, and I was saying there's some online. I said, some Rons I like. But I said, not Ron Johnson, not Ron Paul, not a big fan of Ronald Reagan, although that's hating him, and not for Ron DeSantis. But then I gave a list of other Rons I like, and I finished it by saying, particularly the guy named Feynman, who's a fine man, sitting around with him.
Who's this guy you're
talking about? Ron Johnson, it's just beyond belief, you know. He's coming up in 2022. I hope he's defeated, but oh my God.
How does Cruz keep winning? I've heard Republicans say if there's anybody that they hate in Congress, he's it.
You know, Lindsey Graham, of course, himself is a character, said, I think, 5 years ago when Cruz was running and Graham was running and everybody was running, he made the comment that if Ted Cruz was, I think, I'm not sure if he said killed or died, that he said, well, I think it was have to do with killed, he said nobody in the Senate would be upset or something like that.
Yeah, I remember that.
That.
Yeah. And people would be happy.
Yes. Who was he educated by at Harvard Law School? He went to Harvard. One of his professors was indeed Elizabeth Warren. Can you believe that?
Yeah, yeah.
She had no effect on him, obviously.
Obviously, no. Okay, now, they're trying to get, and I'm not sure, that this was another thing that they were talking about, they're trying to get our Attorney General put in place, and Merrick Garland is the person.
And I just wrote about that yesterday, yes.
Has he, today I think is the final choice, isn't it?
Yes, and I've gathered that he's going to get some Republican votes for him. I haven't looked at the news the last 2 hours, but I heard he was. While the Secretary of the Interior, who's Native American, is having problems,
yeah.
And also Neera Tanden, who is a liberal who has a big mouth and says things she probably shouldn't have said on Twitter, but Trump got away with it for 4 years, and she cannot get away because she herself is an Asian American from India background. So again, it's a woman of color, and she has a mouth, and the Democrats and Republicans, not the Democrats, don't like women that speak up, particularly if they're not white. But the white women that speak up for the Republican Party are disgraceful. The ones who are gun-toting and all that, and of course the women from Georgia, Marjorie Taylor Greene.
Yeah.
It's just so warped. The women they admire, and then the women they do not admire. Of course, they're Democrats, but still, it's unbelievably racist and misogynist, and they get away with it, it seems.
Now, I did mention on the show, the first part of the show today with Scott, that I love strong women. I married one.
Yes.
And
brains, yes.
Yes, I don't understand why people can't see that if we have more people that are thoughtful, strong, and convicted, they will make a better world.
Convicted sounds like it's guilty.
Yeah, that didn't sound right. My wife should be convicted, but no.
It's on tape now.
Well, it's not tape anymore. It's just,
I'm talking about this is going to be in the archives.
It's just ones and twos on a microwave, or so, I don't know. Anyway, I like the idea that we're getting stronger and stronger people.
Yes.
I'm not so certain I like the idea that our stronger people are trying to do away with our government. Do you think that is going to be a real movement?
Well, domestic terrorism is a real problem.
Right.
See, Josh Hawley asked yesterday about people saying that he's responsible. He's so shocked. He should be expelled, and so should Cruz, for leading the sedition and speaking up and preventing the fair vote and trying to stop the vote, because they knew that Donald Trump had not won. But even now, Donald Trump is still claiming he won, and he's going to the CPAC, Conservative Political Action Conference, this weekend, which is going to be interesting to see. All the most disgraceful people in the party are going to be there, but not Liz Cheney, not Adam Kinzinger, not indeed Mitt Romney and others, the ones who were responsible, the ones that are the only decent ones of that party.
Will Jim Jordan be there?
Oh, of course he's going to. Absolutely. And Trump will too. But apparently, Trump said, I was shocked. Maybe I shouldn't be by anything. He says he won't go if Mike Pence shows up. No, he's not going, Mike Pence. But if anything, what kind of a thing is that to say? You did not speak up for your own vice president and his own family and call them for 5 days or defend them on that day.
Yeah.
January 6th. The man is obscene. How could anybody go along with that, you know?
It's a great question.
But why isn't Mike Pence doing something, speaking up?
I don't know. He went into hiding, so.
Yeah, but he's so sycophantic. Now, he may want to run for president. He doesn't have a chance in the world, but he's not going to get Trump's backing. And, you know, I just don't understand why he doesn't condemn him or something, but he's staying quiet. And I think he should. It's going to be an interesting story. The relationship between these two men is going to be compared to the Burr Jefferson case and the Calhoun Jackson case of a vice president and president. I want to really know behind the scenes the truth of how they dealt with each other for 4 years. Because it just seems like Pence just went along, but I wonder if he was causing quote problems end quote for Trump all along. If someday we'll learn, you know.
I have a feeling that he probably was told by his wife to stay down, keep his head down, and that's what he did for 4 years.
And yet his wife hated Trump.
I know.
Wanted
that's
to be
why
vice
I said
president under Trump.
She probably told him to keep your head down because this guy is strange.
Yeah, I'm sure she's relieved that he's no longer vice president, but the family was threatened that day.
Yeah.
And how people can, in Ron Johnson, say nothing was going on that day? What's wrong with these people, you know?
Well, since we're talking about that day, I'm sure you saw that the police chief of the Metropolitan Police in Washington, D.C., and the, what's the guy's name, is in charge of the police of over the Congress.
The Capitol Police.
Yeah, the Capitol Police, and also
the police didn't know what was going on. They couldn't get their act together to get the National Guard in quickly. It's shocking, you know?
Well, now, all three of them have resigned. There's man of arms. What is it? Something of arms.
Sergeant-at-Arms.
Yeah. He also resigned. All three of those men have resigned, and they were all three interviewed yesterday, and it just seemed like the Republicans wanted to hang him from the tree, and the Democrats seemed to listen to them. But there were a lot of tough questions asked in it. Do you think they answered them well, or did you listen to them?
I didn't hear it all, but I got the feeling everybody was saying it's his fault, it's his fault.
Yeah, I heard. I listened to most of it, and it did seem like there was a lot of finger-pointing. And we have a lot of that in the United States. That was one of the things we were talking about on the air earlier today, Scott and I and our listeners. Why is there so much finger-pointing now?
Because nobody wants to take responsibility, just like Donald Trump doesn't take responsibility for anything. But now he's going to start facing the music because he's going to be pursued in various courts, and he's going to finally have to pay a price. And it's going to take time, but it's going to happen. I'm glad of that.
Do you think he will pay a price? Do you think get your crystal ball out. Is he going to spend a day in any prison?
I would say yes. I think he will.
Do you think so?
Yes. Not down the corner. It's going to take time. But I do think so. And the Supreme Court has come out against it. They allowed those tax records to go.
Yes, they did. That's kind of interesting. And yet, they've all the talking heads have said, yes, but none of us will ever get to see them.
Well, it won't be all made public, but It doesn't really matter. But one thing I found interesting is that the Supreme Court justice is the 6 conservatives. It was really surprising, the split on this issue of the tax records and other things. They're splitting in a crazy way. We have, believe it or not, Barrett and Kavanaugh joining Roberts and the 3 liberals. Imagine that.
Yeah.
And then we have, the other 3, including Thomas, oh my God, and Alito, and also Gorsuch. And they're on the other side, and I'm saying, Kavanaugh is surprising us, at least at the moment, and so is Barrett. You cannot think of these people else. So you can say that from his perspective, the people he appointed, they didn't all come through for him, all 3 of them. For Trump.
Yeah.
That's fascinating in a certain way, you know?
Do you think that judges are judges before they're political? I mean, like, do you think they really do sit down and go, okay, this is against the law because this rule and that rule and so forth? Or do you think there are some of them that will become shills for the right or the left side?
Well, I think most Supreme Court justices are decent.
Yeah.
We don't always agree with them. But then there are a few who are a disgrace, and I'm sorry to say we're going into 30 years this year of Clarence Thomas, and he is a disgrace to the court. He's involved with his wife in corrupt actions, you know, outside, including her being involved in the January 6th preparations, telling people to go and march. His wife is really disgraceful and should not be doing this because he is on the Supreme Court. And, you know, he is not regarded as an outstanding justice, but he's been there, and if he stays 6 more years, he'll set the all-time record for service. And I just would wish that he would retire, but, you know, he's probably not going to, but I think he's horrendous. He's certainly not a follow-up to Thurgood Marshall, the African-American justice he replaced, except for the fact he's black.
How old was he when he was put on the Supreme Court?
43. He was going to be, I guess, this year or early next year, 73. And at the time, he said, you know, he was angry at the liberals, as he called them, and he said, I'm going to stay on the court twice my age, so I'm 86, which is 43 years. Well, he's got 30 already, so will we last? Will he stay on the court? But he actually was saying something like that. He wants to be on the court longer than any other justice. He's 43 when he came on, so he would be 86, which means he got about 13 years to go.
Being on there longer doesn't make you a writer.
No, he's not certainly, you know, Oliver Wendell Holmes, no, and he's not John Paul Stevens or John Marshall, Chief Justice. No, it's just in numbers, but I just wish he would leave, and maybe he will, but, you know, maybe he won't because he doesn't want Joe Biden replacing him. But that's why having a Democratic Senate continue next term, you know, in 2023-24 is urgent.
Key,
and that's why there's talk of Stephen Breyer, who is the oldest member of the court, 82, that he should retire this year before, because what happens if the Democrats lose the Senate in 2022 for 2023? Then, if he leaves then or dies or whatever, then there'll be another conservative on the court.
Yeah.
There's already six. So it's very important that Breyer leave this summer. I hope he does, you know, even though he's been a good justice, but he's been on the court now, you know, since 1994. 27 years is enough, and I wish Ruth Bader Ginsburg had listened and left sooner than she did, but she didn't.
Okay, we have a neighbor up here, Mr. Manchin, who is kind of stopping stuff. He's put the hairball into the toilet, and he's kind of stopping the opportunity for Nira. Getting that job. He's also kind of slowing up other people.
And yet he voted for everybody that Trump appoints, including Jeff Sessions.
Yeah.
Even though he was obnoxious. Although Jeff Sessions was not as terrible as Barr became. Can you believe this?
That's pretty hard to imagine, but that was just because I think Barr was probably a little bit smarter. knew how to work the system a little bit better.
A little more crooked at the end.
Yeah,
Sessions.
Yeah.
Sessions had some principle, and that's why Trump got rid of him, you know?
Yeah, nothing worse than having principles.
Yes.
Okay.
God, where we live in these days.
Well, I don't think those of us who are Democrats up here in the North, we're happy to at least have Manchin, who is somewhat. He's not.
He
I would say he's
the party,
on the
yeah.
right side of the middle of the Democratic Party.
Yeah. Well, right now I haven't heard because I haven't watched the news. Lisa Murkowski could be the vote that gets her through.
Is that right?
More moderate and independent. And she's already voted against Trump now, and she's coming up. But she's won an independent race in 2010 after being not given the Republican nomination after being in the Senate. So I hope she does the good work and votes for her. We'll have to see. She could be the saving vote, yeah.
Well, now, there was a stop. They were going to vote on it today, but they postponed it.
Oh!
I heard that last night, and I wondered if they postponed it because... Rachel got online and said, she was on TV and,
yes.
and said, Mr. Manchin, you ought to reconsider this. And she really lambasted him. And I wondered if maybe he got on the phone and said, hey, wait a minute, let's put this off for a day. I want to think about it. I don't know.
Well, I hope so. But I also would be nice if we had one bipartisan vote, at least Lisa Murkowski, who
yes.
I think is the most independent of the few Republicans like Romney and Collins. Collins disappoints me a lot. She's so unreliable, but sometimes she is good. But look, Lisa Murkowski will do what she thinks is right, and she might be the saving vote anyway.
Yeah.
We'll see. I don't know. We'll know, of course, in the next day or two.
Yeah, I think, and I think that's why she was able to get on as an independent, because they saw her as truly independent.
Yes.
And voted for her for that reason.
Yes, she would be my favorite Republican at the moment in the Senate, because I think she is open-minded. And,
yeah,
you know, that often, I don't like everything she does, but she sometimes does what I call the right thing. Yeah. And meanwhile, Becerra, the one who's coming up for HHS, that now we're having Republicans saying, you're not a doctor. Like, is every HHS
yes.
secretary a doctor? No. Why all of a sudden is that the new requirement?
Yeah, the hypocrisy is kind of jumping right off the page, isn't it?
And the same with this Deb Haaland, the Interior Secretary, the thought of a Native American, you know, who cares about Native Americans and about the environment,
yeah.
that upsets Republicans. Why should it?
And now, it would upset me if they didn't elect her, not because she's a Democrat, but because she's a Native American, the first ever that would be on the cabinet, in the cabinet.
And my oldest son, David, who works for the Conservation Land Foundation, knows her and is so thrilled that she's been nominated. He is so happy, you know. But, of course, not a certainty. I think she will be confirmed, because I think a Murkowski maybe or a Collins would vote for her, you know. So hopefully there'd be enough votes, even if there wasn't 50 of the Democrats. But it's just, there really is a need in the midterm for the Democrats to win control more than 50-50. But if you look at history, the president elected, you know, an election year, 2 years later, loses seats in the House and Senate, and there's no room to lose seats. The only thing is, two-thirds of the seats coming up are Republican, and some are retiring, so the hope is that there could be a gain of seats to more than 50. But, you know, if you go in history, it's not very likely, so it's scary what could happen in 2022.
You can't see me, but I just plugged my ears and went, nah. Okay, I've got to ask you about this guy. This may be one of the most corrupt people that Trump ever appointed. Postmaster General Louis DeJoy.
DeJoy.
He's still hanging in there, and yet he... It's not getting any better in the post office.
No, in fact, I had a Verizon bill that hadn't come. I called up about it, and I got it online. But I was thinking, and after I called up, like 10 days later than it should have been, the Verizon bill showed up. It's so delayed. And my son told me, because he does my taxes, send this through UPS. Don't do it through the Postal Service, the information. Because and it went there, it got there in 2 days, and he says he's had Christmas cards come to him a month late from people he knows into January and February. Can you believe that?
Unfortunately, that's exactly what Trump and his cohorts wanted to happen. They wanted everybody to go to the private delivery people and go away from the post office. And yet the post office has really been good to us and is loved by...
Oh, indeed. It's just that right now it's not being run right.
Right.
Of course, it's still good. But he said, right now, short-term, Dad, he said, send it so it gets to me, otherwise it might take a long time. So that's why I did that.
That is a shame.
Oh, gosh.
Now, where are we as far as all the people that have been arrested for the January 6th riot? Where are, and it's kind of interesting to watch the talking heads. Some of them will come on and they'll say the January 6th protest, and then they'll correct themselves and say riot. Nobody wants to call it a protest, because it really wasn't a protest.
No.
It was a riot. But where are we going with the conviction of all those people?
Well, it takes time to get to that stage.
Yeah.
But we're reading, but we're reading about people who are retired cops or retired military, or some that are actually still cops or in the military, or people that are professional people where you would say they wouldn't do something like this, men and women, when some cases mother and son or mother and daughter. And I'm thinking, what is wrong with these people's minds, you know?
Yeah.
This makes no sense. So what kind of people are these? Particularly when they have their children, they're going with their children to do this.
Yeah, it's kind of crazy. Now, do you think that there were a lot of people there that just went to hear the president do his speech and then just got caught up in it? Or do you think half of them were, you know, with the Proud Boys and with, you know, the bad...
I don't know if they were with the Proud Boys specifically.
No.
I think think if you went to that rally, you went there to cause trouble because you were riled up and you didn't understand what democracy is all about. And, you know, so to me, anyone who went into that building is guilty. Any of them that they can figure out needs to be prosecuted to the full extent of the law and spend lots of time in prison.
Well, like I've told you, I'm sure I told you about my incident when I ended up at the 1968 Democratic Convention riot. 15,000 of us.
In Chicago.
In Chicago. Yeah, and I was just there because somebody handed me a flyer when I came out of my draft physical, and I walked down there and just thought, hey, let me listen to this. And I listened to the Chicago 7 spew their stuff, and all of a sudden it started getting hot. So
what
I think, I imagine there were people, I told a cop I had to go to the bathroom, and he let me out through the police corridor. And
you didn't engage in violence, you were just in the area.
No, I was kind of right next to the lady that had her teeth knocked out by a guy that was pulling down the American flag to put up the Vietnamese flag. But now, I didn't get involved except for I tried to stop the guy from being so rough on this lady. Now, he didn't intend to kick her teeth out. He just happened to be flailing his feet about while he was trying to shinny up the flagpole, and he caught her in the face with his foot.
Well, the point is, if somebody was at this rally, listened, and then walked away on January 6th, that's one thing. But they marched with the mob on the Capitol, they're guilty.
Yeah, they knew that they were going to the Capitol. Probably most of them knew. Well, the thing that drives me crazy is nobody brings up the point that the permit that was allowed for that speech, and that speech was allowed. It was an allowed speech, but it did not allow them to march to the Capitol. So if they marched to the Capitol, they knew they were in violation of the law.
And when you see the people with their flags and their weapons and stuff, why would you join that group? Why would you move and back away right away? Well, I don't understand. So there's no ethics or morality in these people.
Now, there are several Republican, I'm not sure whether it's senators or congressmen, or maybe it's both, that are saying that it wasn't Trump supporters. Now, if they looked at the pictures, they're nuts.
Yes, they are. And they all say it's Antifa and Black Lives Matter. That's just pure racism. That is not true. And the so-called troubles last summer, they were regretful, but they were nothing like this.
Right.
You cannot compare the two. But, you know, I want to make sure we mention the master of hate and division who left us this past week, Rush Limbaugh.
Yes.
And, you know, we mentioned it last week when it came up, but I did write an article on it, and I said this is a man who is a master racist, nativist, misogynist, homophobe, Islamophobe, and promoter of bad behavior, and helped to bring on Newt Gingrich, Ted Cruz, and so many others. And the man is now going to be honored, and I guess it hasn't happened yet, he hasn't been buried, in the state of Florida. Our lovely Governor Ron, who I don't like, Francis, is having the flags fly at half-staff, but the state agricultural commissioner, who's the only Democrat statewide, Nikki Fried, is not allowing it in her area, you know, in her department. It's ridiculous. You don't hold it. You know, this is not a person who deserves to have the flag fly at half-staff. You know, it's ridiculous.
Yeah. Well, there's a lot of ridiculous stuff going on right now. Now, have we heard anything more about Representative Thompson suing the Trump and Giuliani and the Proud Boys and the Oath Keepers for the violation of the 1871 KKK Act?
Well, it's in process. Again, nothing happens immediately, but I think Giuliani is going to end up in prison for sure with so many different things that are being brought against him, plus all the lawsuits, including also the pillow guy getting sued too.
Yeah.
Oh, he is really off the wall. Who would buy any pillows from him besides they're no bargains and that better pillow?
It's a pillow.
Ridiculous.
he did a good job of selling it. That's all
it's
I can say.
It's good Saturday Night Live stuff. That's what it is. But unfortunately, it's real.
Yeah, it is real, unfortunately.
Yeah. I want to commend Merrick Garland. I think he did a great job.
Oh, yes, I was going to ask
you. He will be the Attorney General. He's getting some. I heard he's going to get Mitch McConnell's vote after he prevented him from being considered for the court. That's what I heard. Yeah. I don't know if it's true, but I heard that. But Merrick Garland will do a real good job. He's going to really go after people who have broken the law, and it's a proper thing to do, but not in league with the not only with the president, just doing his job in the Department of Justice.
Did you watch his part of his interview where he got so emotional?
Yes, I got emotional watching
yeah,
that.
Yeah, I did too, and I, well, you and I are crybabies. So.
That's why we live a long life.
I guess. We get our emotional fix that way.
It's good to cry. There's nothing wrong with it.
I don't think there is either.
As long as you don't cry all the time.
Yeah, that's true. And I.
And you got a problem.
Yeah. Who was the guy that was the Republican that used to cry all the time? You know who I mean. I'm sure you do.
Just a moment, I'm trying to think.
He was the head of...
John Boehner, the Speaker of the House.
Yes, Speaker of the House.
Somebody saw me, and that was a little over the top. So.
Now, my wife always says to me, if she sees me kind of tearing up while I'm watching something, she said, are you a Boehnerite? Well, it is, and that's why I love being married to a strong woman.
Well, I would say with Boehner, people always made fun of him, and a lot of things I didn't like. But after him, we had Paul Ryan, and now, although not the Speaker, thank God, Kevin McCarthy. Yeah. And boy, does he look better now, Boehner, by comparison.
Oh, absolutely, yeah. The new guy is bad. At least
he should be removed because he was involved. He would not accept the results, and I think, and he's really, you know, he really is a person who should not be in that position. Liz Cheney should be the House, minority leader.
Yeah, I'll go. And she's what, third? Who is she behind?
She's third. Yes, she's, and number two is Scalise, who also went along as McCarthy did. You know, and it was interesting. I was talking about Eugene McCarthy in one of my class, and I was saying Eugene McCarthy is not Joseph McCarthy, you know, the 50s, and not Kevin McCarthy, just a similar name. Because I said, you know, I bring out the differences among these people or public figures named McCarthy, you know, in different eras.
Well, it's kind of interesting speaking of McCarthy from back in the 50s.
Ron Johnson's a new Joseph McCarthy, people think in Wisconsin, who don't like him. He's much like him, you know. Yeah. So what about Joe McCarthy?
Well, it was interesting how I've read several things since since Trump leaving the office about how he kind of believed that he was, people believed that he had the same malady that Trump has. The what is that called? Narcissistic.
Joseph McCarthy.
Yeah. Yeah. That he was so self-absorbed that's why he was so good at his job. He absolutely believed that all these people were communists.
My understanding is that he was doing it just to be reelected and then to stay in power. I don't know how principled he really was. I think he was delusional with anything, you know.
Well, that's, I think, what people are talking about his relationship with Trump. Trump being delusional and wanting to stay in power, and McCarthy in the same way. He wasn't a president, but he was wanting to stay in power. And who is the gentleman that criticized him that kind of started his downfall?
Well, a number of people, including Margaret Chase Smith of Maine, Senator Margaret Chase Smith of Maine, was famous for that.
It was a male.
I'm not sure who. And I wanted to mention, you got to realize there's a connection between Joseph McCarthy and Donald Trump. Roy Cohn.
Same lawyer,
Roy Cohn, C-O-H-N.
Now, did...
Sorry to say he was Jewish, but not my kind of idea of what a Jew should be, but people are individuals, as my son says. You can't judge them by who they are. But Roy Cohn was connected to McCarthy, and then was a buddy years ago of Donald Trump, so there is that connection.
Well, I graduated from a Lutheran college and was a son of a Methodist minister, and I'll guarantee you there were a lot of those guys that were tried at the Nuremberg trials that were Methodist and Lutheran. So,
wow.
You know, we all have our crosses to bear, if you excuse the expression. Yeah. Well, anyway, we're getting close. We got about 6 minutes to go.
Yeah, I wanted to make sure. I wanted to say I didn't have the chance to listen this morning, but I did write to Scott Spears about his birthday. I guess
today.
He hasn't seen it already. Has he seen it? Do you know?
I don't know. He would have mentioned it to me.
Happy birthday, number 40, and tell him it's not so bad to hit a round number. You finally have grown up if you're 40.
We kind of tiptoed around his age on my show.
I believe in telling him as it is, and I said, mature. I think you're a fantastic interviewer and talk show host, and I really commend you. I've always said that about him. He's wonderful.
Yeah, he is a very good talk show.
I hope he does indeed see what I wrote and certainly hear what I said now.
I will guarantee you he will hear it, and I will guarantee you he will see it, and I probably can guarantee you he'll tell me tomorrow that he saw it, because he's pretty open about all of our relationships here on the radio station. Now, he did tell me that our lease is up in April. That's kind of scary.
What does that mean?
Well, it means we either have to keep our lease going or we have to look elsewhere. But
you have to pay more rent, probably.
Yeah, well, we're hoping that we can find a way to pay less rent. I think that's
less.
Yeah. Well,
I don't know about less. Maybe just keep the same rent.
I'll tell you later when I find out. We did. I don't know if you were able to see the Marion Star had a story about us going off the air. Our transmitter was shut down.
We had a problem. Yes. Yeah.
And it was shut down based on some stuff that had been filed with the FCC by a young man who has been kind of a thorn in our side.
Oh, God.
And he's not a young man, I guess. But we're hoping that we won't have that problem anymore. So we're
back. You wouldn't support it, probably.
I'm
going to answer that. Forget it.
I was trying to think how to be polite. So we're on the air now and expecting to stay on the air for quite some time. You know, it is amazing, though, how many people listen to us over the web. We got as many, if not more, phone calls on one of his. He does a show occasionally called Family Ties, or not Family Ties, Family Feud, and ask questions.
When you said Family Ties, I thought you meant Michael J. Fox.
No, not that one. Family Feud, which was that African-American comedian. I can't remember his name. Anyway, he did one of those shows while we were off the air. We were on the internet, and he got the most phone calls he had ever gotten, which kind of tells you that we talked about this off the air. Maybe we ought to start publicizing our off the air stuff a lot more. Now, next week, next week on Thursday at 11 o'clock, 11:15, I'm going to have a Boston Marathon runner-up on my show.
Ooh.
A great friend of my son's lives in Ventura. He's a politician, far left. You'll love him.
Let's remind me next week about it being on Thursday. Yeah.
Okay. Gary Tuttle. And people will love hearing him. He's quite a nice guy. His wife was also a marathoner and a nationally known marathoner. Gary, I think, ran against Prefontaine. He was in the, you remember the, you're old enough to remember how important distance runners were in the 70s and 80s out of California, and
yes,
he was in that group. So,
oh, wow.
But the reason why I'm going to be able to have him on is because he'll be able to tune in over the internet.
Great.
Love it. We're finding out that we need to work a little bit more to get more of our internet. I've had people contact me about yours and my show from California, North Carolina, Florida,
really?
Wisconsin. Yeah.
So, hey, good things or bad things or what?
I don't remember what they were. Very few people contact me and say bad things.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're nice.
Yeah, well, that's good. But I guess also all the things are on the archive, so people can listen to shows after
yeah,
they're on. You know?
We do have them on there now. We've had them on for years. So.
Yeah, I think close to 200 times I've been on your show.
Wow, that's amazing.
Including you and Adam and also Scott. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, we're down to our final 30 seconds. What you got to say?
Just saying, I heard that you got you wrote that you got your first vaccination.
Yes, yesterday.
Yeah. And I got mine last week. However, the day after I was on, I wasn't feeling so well. I had a really aching arm on Thursday of last week. that seems to be normal, and on Friday everything was fine.
Well, my arm ached short for a short time, but I'm fine.
The second one apparently has more effects, so be aware. But it's fine now. It's just it was a very heavy ache on Thursday of last week.
Okay.
Anyway, it's been great being on again, and I look forward to next week.
All right. Take
You're
care.
You're listening to WWGH Radio 107.1 FM LP Marion, Ohio, The Talking Place. For legendary comedian Pat